T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my wild country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Stay here. Stay as long as you can.
For the love of God. Cherish it.
With Dusty Hera.
That's so sad for my team and me. I'm such a big supporter.
And NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
Oh, you can count. Good for you.
And you can count on me waiting for you in the parking lot.
On 1080.
It's showtime.
The Fan.
All right, hour number 3, Dusty and Cam in the Morning. Getting ready to send you off to the herd with Colin Cowherd at 9. Good text here. We do have to worry about brown recluse spiders in Oregon, but they're not all over the place, are they?
No, I
don't really worry about brown recluse spiders.
I'm not
spiders.
An insectologist.
You're not?
Insectinologist.
I thought you were. I would have thought.
I claim to do a lot of information, but I've yet to see. I have not had a run in with a brown recluse or a black widow. I've had a black widow right outside my when I lived in Arizona too, and I have huge tarantulas down there too, and some big snakes. But I've never seen one up here.
We had a black widow at my house in college. That died quickly. But yeah, no, I've never. I don't think I've ever come across a brown recluse spider. Mm.
I've heard that you're not supposed to step on the black widows because they could be carrying eggs and you could track those around on the bottom of your shoe.
Really?
That's what I've heard. Now, I don't know if that's true.
Well, that one, the one in college found the backside of a flip-flop, so kind of the same.
Don't spread those eggs around.
Yeah, don't do that.
Ugh. Spider eggs are disgusting. Watching spiders hatch and just
hang out on their mom. They hang out on the backs of their mom. Yeah.
Gross.
I'll take snakes over spiders all day long.
All right. We will have snakes as part of our weekend, would you rather? But also this hour, Jamal Adams. He says he wants to be here forever. Well, not here.
Here.
In Seattle. On the Fan. He wants to be on the Fan. Home of the Seahawks. 1080 the Fan. He says he wants it to be forever. We'll have the audio from Jamal Adams. Plus, what is getting John Lynch all hot and bothered? Right now, though, let's get to it. The weekend, would you rather?
All right, gents, back with some categories for you this week. The first one, Old MacDonald had a penis. Next one
Wow.
Ocho Cinco's Three Amigos. The next one is Fighting Words. We also have Snakes Alive. And we have, as coined by Cam last segment, Mutant Death Insects. Where do we want to start?
Old MacDonald had a penis.
Just getting it out of the way early, huh?
This is one of the more insane stories I have read recently. Headline: Father whose penis dropped off due to blood infection became first man to have new one built on his arm, but delays mean it has been stuck there for 4 years.
Wait, what? Wait, what?
So this guy had some sort of blood infection, and essentially his member died and fell off.
Oh my goodness.
They told him they could basically grow him a new one by peeling back skin on his forearm.
Okay.
He has been... Oh, by the way, he decided he was going to add 2 inches to his new penis.
And why wouldn't you?
I mean, sure.
Two? Why stop at two?
But he has had this thing growing hanging off of his forearm for 4 years.
Wait a minute. Do we have a picture of, is there a
there
picture?
There is a diagram.
Oh, there's a diagram.
There is a diagram. There's not photo evidence, but there is a cartoon of what it would look like.
I don't believe it until I see it.
I can send it your way, man.
Okay, all right. I'm gonna need to see evidence of this.
The question here, though, is would you rather grow a new penis on your arm or just give up not having one altogether?
Oh, my God. Grow me something. Are you kidding me? I don't care what it is.
Grow it
something. Grow it.
So for 4 years, you're walking around with this flopping
right
around
now?
On your forearm.
Yeah, I don't. Grow it on my face. I can care less.
I grow that thing on my forehead.
I don't care what. Yeah I want the. I don't want to be a eunuch. I don't want to.
You could wear like a.
I don't want to be part of the Unsullied. Give me my thing.
Wear your LeBron shooting sleeve and just.
Right.
Have that right there. A little ace bandage. For a while, and everybody's like, what happened to your arm?
Oh, by the way, it's old McDonald because the guy's name his last name is McDonald. He's 45 years old.
There's a lot of bad things that are happening to this guy right now. Yeah. You know? My goodness. But why has it taken 4 years?
That's a good question.
Maybe it's
what
growing
was the
slow.
Hiccup here?
Let's see here. I might have that information.
Yeah,
something went wrong with...
I think a lot of things have gone wrong here.
I do think a lot
Maybe
lot
he
of
ran out of money. Maybe it's, you know, it can't be a cheap thing to be able to do.
Yeah.
Maybe he's like, all right, insurance. Maybe he's battling insurance.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I'm trying to look for the reason why they haven't been able to...
I guarantee you.
Transplant it. But apparently what they're going to be able to do is, like, take this new-grown one and put it back where the old one was.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Congratulations.
I sent you guys both the article. If you scroll down, you can see the diagram.
Okay. Well, what happened is... So, it was supposed to be moved in 2018, but he was unwell.
Oh,
I think this guy's got a lot of health problems. When your member falls off, you're not in the best health. And then he was still unwell. And then transport scheduling mix-ups. I would make sure that this is scheduled out very well.
Someone couldn't make this a priority?
Staff shortages have caused further delays with the most recent surgery booked back in April.
There you go.
And now COVID.
Yeah.
Damn. This guy just can't catch a break.
Got
old McDonald. Our remaining choices are Ocho Cinco's Three Amigos, Fighting Words.
How is this just now a story? I mean, this should be
this guy.
Buck? Yeah,
yeah. I don't know.
I would like Fighting Words, please.
Well, Cam, you were the first one I knew of to discover this story when it came out on Twitter. I believe last week that Mike Tyson was making a comeback. Mm-hmm. He was asked about some of the other prolific fighters, and he went on to say that he could whoop the butts of Rocky Balboa, Ivan Drago, or Conor McGregor right now. So my question to you is, would you rather fight, assuming that Dolph Lundgren and Rocky Balboa are not quite at the same level, would you rather fight Mike Tyson or Conor McGregor right now?
Boxing?
Oh, Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor. He's a tiny little dude. He is a tiny little dude. I mean, at his max, what does he weigh? 165, 170? 175?
That sounds right.
I mean, come on, 170. I mean, I could take a punch from 170. I want no part of Mike Tyson at 54 years old. Are you nuts?
Conor McGregor isn't taking your head off in one punch. He's 154 pounds.
Yeah, I mean, come on. He's a cute little fighter. He's from Ireland. He's like, it's like I'm battling a little leprechaun right there.
This isn't.
What are these shiny little things there? I don't ask it. Mike Tyson? I don't want any part of Mike Tyson. I don't want any part of it.
Looks like McGregor is 154 right now. Yeah.
Come on. 154.
He's hurting you.
Oh, I'm
he's
hurting him.
You.
Oh, no.
He's hurting you. But
oh, no,
it,
he's
not.
Oh, yeah, he's hurting me.
Your brain is not.
He's hurting me, but I got about
eggs.
30 seconds of just flailing guillotine choking that's going on. Mike Tyson.
Oh, you're going to guillotine choke Conor McGregor?
Are you kidding me?
Nah, he's going to be climbing on you like a spider monkey.
Oh, dude, I got about 30 seconds of effort. After that, I'm going to have a heart attack.
Cam versus Connor. We got to set it up.
Yeah.
30 seconds. That's about. Okay, maybe a minute. I'll give him a minute. I'm getting in there. I'm full grappling. We're going jujitsu. I'm not standing up or something, guys.
You're out even quicker if it's jujitsu.
Probably. No, I'm not saying I'm winning. Yeah. I'm not winning anything, but I'm not standing up versus
Mike
Tyson.
That's the thing is, like, Mike Tyson has more recently been the successful professional fighter, but I would also rather face him than Mike Tyson.
Yeah. Yes.
Mike Tyson's terrifying.
Imagine taking that left hook to the jaw of Mike Tyson. My head's going to be in the stands.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Off your shoulders completely.
That was a rather easy one. I'm going Ocho's, Cinco's, Three Amigos.
Yeah, so this came to light recently where Chad Ochocinco said that he took Viagra before every game because you can't stop him when running on three legs.
Whoa.
So, I found that interesting.
This is coming from the same guy who pees on his feet to cure a sprained ankle.
That's grandma's recipe. It was grandma's.
Yep. But the question here is, would you rather have an erection every time you exercise or have to wear football pads in the bedroom?
Football pads in the bedroom.
So do you guys remember the Jackass one where Johnny Knoxville wore the fake schlong to the workout facility? He kept having people spot him and he was working out.
I do remember that.
That was hysterical. That was fantastic. Yeah. He's like, people were like, dude, you got to.
I mean, good luck power cleaning.
Depends on, I mean, are we talking, is this a footer? Do I have to, all right.
Well.
Shoulder pads.
Yep.
Shoulder pads and helmet in the bedroom, huh?
Mm-hmm. Shoulder pads and helmet.
All right, do we want.
I mean, it's going to be a full contact in thing anyway, so might as well just make it really aggressive.
Hard hitting.
Yeah.
We want snakes alive or mutant death insects?
Snakes alive.
Well, as we have discussed ad nauseum on this station, we have had some snakes here in our building. My question is, would you rather come across, whether they are a cute little garter snake or whether it's something more substantial, rather come across a snake in your workspace here once a week or a snake in your home twice a year?
Oh, once a week here. Once a week here. What's the big deal? He's just doing a little rodent control. No big deal.
I'm going twice a year. It's just... like, it's either 52 times or twice.
Yeah.
I'm going twice.
All right. Finally, mutant death insects. We saw Bryson DeChambeau trying to use the fire ants as an out for his lie yesterday. Assuming there actually were real fire ants in a round of golf you're playing, would you rather be attacked by them or shoot your worst score of your life?
Okay, since I've experienced this, guys, I want you to take my word for it. Just shoot 170 on the golf course. You don't want any. You don't want any part of that.
Having not felt the fire ants, I don't actually know. But I know how mad I get when I shoot the worst shot of or worst score of my life. I feel like I'd be inclined to take the fire ants, but maybe not.
Buck,
don't take.
If
the fire
I told you you could shoot 79, or have to have a fire ant attack on both the front and the back nine, what would you do?
I think I'd take the 79.
We're going to need to get 79 with an attack?
On the front nine and the back nine. I mean, I guess I don't know the pain I'm experiencing. So I'll
see in that 79. Oh boy. In that one, like, you're having fun no matter what, because you're going to have fun shooting the 79. It's going to be a great story. Got attacked by fire ants twice. Still shot a 79. Mm. But when you shoot the worst round of your life, don't take golf serious enough. You're just going to go out and maybe have a few more adult beverages on the course and enjoy the ride that is misery towards 130 or whatever you're going to shoot.
So I just assumed that was going to be miserable.
I'll go with shooting the worst round of my life.
Okay.
I've never been miserable.
That seems like the smarter choice here, but I really hate shooting a bad score.
Yeah, but I've never been miserable on a golf course. I mean, aren't you just happy to be out there? You're out there in nature. It's fun.
I've been miserable a couple of times, but then I sit back and I realize, you know what? Not that bad. And I'm not that good. Let's move on. You know? That's the way you got to look at golf. We're not pros.
It's not that bad, and I'm not that good.
Yeah. This is not that bad, and I'm not that good.
Words to live by.
Not too shabby. All right. Baseball's situation is getting a little bit worse here with the positive tests that are coming out. We'll have that coming up later in the hour, as well as Jamal Adams wanting to retire a Seahawk. But the SEC calls off their non-conference. Hear what Greg Sankey had to say next. Dusty and Cam on the Fan. All right, 8:19, Dusty here at Camp Cleveland with you. We had that Conor McGregor weekend, Would You Rather? And Pew and Anthony text in, have you seen the video of Conor McGregor sparring with the Mountain?
Oh, yeah, I've seen that video. That's really old. That wasn't really a spar. It was kind of like they're just messing around and stuff like that. Conor McGregor's like, do not let this guy get my hands on. He will murder me.
I don't think that's what Conor McGregor is doing, because he's going at him. He's just so quick. The Mountain's trying to grab him, and he just wiggles his way out of everything.
Like, oh, I know. Just, yeah, he's avoiding him because he's literally a mountain.
But when he goes at him, it's so quick. The Mountain's like, oh, boy.
Yeah, but come on. That's like a fly swatter. It's like, this cute little guy. Did he touch me?
I don't think so. I think, I don't know.
Oh, give credit to guys that are good fighters and stuff, but there is something to be said about something that's really big and someone that's very small, is that if he gets his hands on him, I don't care how quick you are, he's going to break his back in half.
Yes. I mean, but it's getting
his
hands on him is the
hard
part.
Strongest man.
If he
gets him in a bear hug, his spine, he will fold like a bad.
But the hard part is getting your hands on him.
Yeah, that's true. It's good. You sit there and wait.
All over.
If you're in a cage, you can't run forever.
Yeah. All right. Let's see here. We've got the SEC has agreed to play 10 conference games in their schedule this year. They kind of bucked what everybody thought they were going to do, which was do what the SEC usually does and says, we're going to keep on playing and we're going to power through. And they are going to bump their season back to a late September start, have two extra conference games. They're actually going to play 10 conference games, something that, remember when we were first talking about the models that the SEC was looking at, there was that backlash of there were ADs and university presidents are saying, there's no way we are going to a 10-game conference schedule. Well, that's where they are. And Greg Sankey, commissioner of the SEC, explained the reasoning for it.
We wanted to set a start date, and that's really the point of emphasis. And it follows our return to campus. And over the last 2 weeks of August, we're going to have tens of thousands of people back on our campuses and our locales. We're going to be re-engaging in education. It will be different as we live in this COVID environment, and we need to make sure that happens and happens well. And our athletics programs operate in the context of our universities. Despite what some may write from time to time, that is absolutely our reality. And this decision is a recognition of that reality, wanting to make sure we welcome people back, that whatever learning and change has to happen around our campuses takes place in a great way, and that will allow us to play the football season.
So Sankey is just saying maximum flexibility there. They wanted maximum flexibility with 10 games and saying, look, despite what people think, football just runs the SEC, our university presidents, our ADs, and our conference looked at and said, look, September 26th, that's when we're going to start. Things better start getting in the right direction or this ain't going to happen.
Yeah, two trains of thought on that, and I can really appreciate what the SEC is now doing, is that the start of this mindset was football is going to happen no matter what. It is the priority. Everyone else get out of the way. We're going to bulldoze this through. This is the way it's supposed to be. That was the first train of thought that all of us, at least most of us out here, we're trying to say, look, the SEC is going to do whatever they want. They're going to control. And I was on board with that, too. But the SEC did this. They went, football is a priority. So now we have to do whatever we can in whatever strategy it is to do. We got to try to find what's the safest, what's the most intelligent, because it is a priority. We have to protect it in a way that makes it so everybody can still have this option. So what are we going to do? Instead of taking the, we'll do whatever we want, they took a different mindset. They said, how do we keep it a priority, but keep everything as safe as possible with the most strategic manner of protocols to keep it so we can have the good things?
But this is the thing that I dislike it so strongly, is that the Big Ten and Pac-12, that was their thinking, and they got crushed for it. That's exactly what they did. They said it. They said the exact same things that Greg Sankey said. And they got crushed for it. But now that the SEC does it, it's like the conversation is shifted to, well, yep, that's what you got to do. And that to me is, I mean, let's call it what it is. Like, the Pac-12 doesn't have a great reputation. They don't. They don't. But the only they thing were looking I can... at this with a level head from the get-go, and it was, oh, they're being reactionary. No, they were doing, it was the smart play all along. It truly was.
Well, the only thing I can say about the Pac-12 first is that the first narratives out of the Pac-12 was shut it down. We're done. This isn't going to happen.
But they didn't.
I hold on. I know that. I know that. But the first reaction from schools, from presidents, from everybody that was in control of the Pac-12, coming out of everywhere, from we saw John Wilner's first comments regarding what the Pac-12 commissioners and everybody was saying, season's off, shut it down, we can't do it. The SEC took a different stance. He said, we're going to do everything we can. We're doing it. We're doing it. We're doing it. We're doing it. So the two narratives were, yes, you're 100% right. The Pac-12 found a solution, but it's the initial reaction they came out with is that, remember, the first impression is what everybody sees. Just ask yourself when you first meet somebody, when they shake their hand, are you a first impression person or do you wait around to see, are they a good person or not? First impressions. Well, the first impression of the Pac-12 is they're pansies, according to, I'm not saying that's true. It's the first impression. Reactionary. Oh my gosh, it's the end of the world. And the first reaction of the SEC was, we're going to do whatever we can to make sure we can play. Two different things. And so you're right. You're right. The Pac-12 is not getting the credit, but it's like shaking hands.
See, and that is where I look at what the Pac-12, they were looking at it logically. And they said from the get-go, we are going to follow the science and do what the science says. And Greg Sankey has been saying the exact same thing. Like, he has said a lot of the same things. And he even said a couple of weeks ago on Feinbaum show, I believe, that I don't know if this is going to happen, college football. And the reaction wasn't anywhere as close to what it was when Larry Scott said the exact same thing. And I'm totally spacing on the new Big Ten commissioner's name. But when he said the same thing, it was, they just don't want to play. It doesn't mean as much to them. But it's all of a sudden okay now because Greg Sankey is saying it and the SEC is saying it. When these guys were out in front of it, they were out in front of it going, hey, look, we're not going to be people that are not, we're going to say we're following the science and we're going to do it. And so they did. And it's now become more common than not.
But I think if we're going to
the 10-game schedule and bumping things back.
Dusty, if we're going to continue to point fingers and try to say what's fair and what isn't fair and saying what's science and what science is that, it's not, I'm not saying
it's
that.
It's not fair. It's the hypocrisy behind but the
this
two
isn't,
views.
That's not helping the narrative anymore. What's not going to be is that this isn't helping the narrative to try to point fingers and say, and I'm not going to tell you or anybody in the media what to do, is that this isn't helping to try to say, the left coast, the west coast, the south and the red and all of this stuff. We're all in this together. We're trying to find the best solutions and everybody has different ideas and thoughts. We should embrace everything we can and not just point fingers about what's fair and what isn't fair anymore because things are going to change. It doesn't help our narrative saying the Pac-12's weak or the SEC's strong. None of us, last time I checked, we all got hearts and we all our stuff and their blood and we're all humans. So no matter what we think moving forward, Pac-12, SEC, Big Ten, do whatever you can to be as safe as possible, take the right protocols, but try to be fluid and be willing to adjust. And that's all we need to do for college sports. It's all we need to do. There's no finger. I mean, go ahead. Keep.
Well, there's no finger pointing. Like the finger pointing is that it's amazing to see how what you just said and doing it in the safe possible way is viewed negatively when the first two conferences did it. And now all of a sudden it's like, oh, the SEC's on. We're okay with it. It's cool. Because yeah, that's the right thing to do.
That happens with everything.
Well, I know, but looking back at it now, you can sit there and you can go, oh, so a later start time, exactly what Mark Emmert said. And then the NCAA went the very next, or on the exact same day, the NCAA said, no, you can play 0 week. Like it's just kind of like everything is just on this little scale where the thumb gets pushed on it on one side and it's pushed down. And then all of a sudden that thumb wanted to jump to the other side and it's cool. We're all right with it now. And I think it is the smart move to go 10-game conference schedule because now you have more of the no non-conference. There's going to be more uniformity because the ACC where their non-conference game is going to be now. What's the Big 12's non-conference game is going to be now? I think there's only a handful of schools, maybe five or six schools, that even have a 12-game schedule intact right now.
The question is, in college, these are two different things that I'll pose here, and then you can go to the break. Is that in what we're dealing with is that do you want to hang around? If you're talking to somebody, do you want to hang around with the second group or the first group? So I can only explain it like this. Do you want to hang around with the ones that are reactionary or the ones that are out in front? That's the question. Do you want to listen to the quote unquote specialists, or do you want to wait and see? So this is the world of be first, be right or wrong. It doesn't matter. It's about being first, right? There's a lot of that going on in today's sports media. So this was a media push. Okay, the Pac-12 was just doing, they're just like, look, we're taking our time, we're doing what we need to do. But reactionary came from all the sports media junkies that wanted to say the Pac-12 are a bunch of pansies. Or they're smart people. Look at all the nerds out there that are safe and they're concerned. Don't wear a seatbelt. We're wear seatbelt. And then there's the SEC who's like, look at all the knuckle draggers that just are going to play sports no matter what. Keep pushing that narrative, man. Because it's... That's not what this is about. Okay, when we talk about the SEC, we should be talking about college football as a whole. I'm not telling everybody what to think. I'm just saying is that I'm trying to look at this as together. We're all in this together. We're not in regions with college sports. We're all trying to do this together.
But we 100% are in regions, and that's why the uniformity has been so frustrating.
Dude, I know you're stating the obvious. I already know that.
But it goes in the it counters to what you just explained, though. I mean, that is.
What counters to what I said? I know exactly what I said. What I said was we need to be all in this together. But we
sure as hell do.
But we push a narrative of one side's worse than the other. Nobody's worse.
It isn't. That is 100% true. But it's you're having a different conversation than if you were basing it in what is in front of you.
Stop answering my question. Go to break.
Has said
Jesus.
It is in front of you. Okay.
I'm going to be the immature guy in the room.
Sure are.
Let's go to the break. Let's go to break. This isn't going to, we're no, no one's going right. to win here.
This is your feedback, 503-250-1080. Here's Buck with SportsCenter. All right, we've got 8:36 on your Friday morning. Gusty Herrick, Cam Cleland with you. Jamal Adams, the Seattle Seahawk now, and he has the big words about his future with the Hawks in Seattle.
The plan is to retire here. You know what I mean? That is my plan. But obviously, you know, those things handle themselves. When all you have to do is just go on the field and perform, do the right things on and off the field, and those things will take care of itself, man. So I'm very excited to be here. I know the rest of the guys is, you know, excited to have me and the coaching staff and everybody else. So, we'll worry about that when the time comes.
He's okay, and this is what he said in New York all along. Just tell me you don't want to extend me right away, and I'll be okay with it.
Well, you're not giving up two first-round picks and a third and a starter for a guy that's going to be a one-year deal.
He'd be two, and then you could franchise him.
You certainly could, but you're not. There's no way you're doing that.
But that is – well, if he is wanting to get paid as the highest-paid the highest paid safety in the league,
which is who right now,
then wouldn't franchising him be the way to go?
There's some good high paid safeties franchise. I don't know. It's a good question. It's definitely a fair question to ask Pete Carroll and John Schneider.
But if you're looking at the way that he goes, oh gosh, there's not Tyrann Mathieu makes $16.3 million mm-hmm. per year. Earl mm-hmm. Thomas makes 15.
Yeah. So right around there.
And so Jamal Adams is sitting there, and wouldn't franchising him actually kind of be a smart move?
I'm not a fan of franchising because I haven't seen a guy that enjoys the franchise tag. I think it's a slap in the face and nobody really appreciates it because you can look at Dak Prescott. You give an example for Kirk Cousins. It causes issues within a Washington team, but it's causing an issue with the Cowboys. It's caused an issue every time I've seen it. Oh my gosh, running back for Pittsburgh now with the Jets. I'm just sorry.
Le'Veon Bell.
Thank you. I always want to say Javon, but Le'Veon Bell caused a major issue. Franchise tags just, I mean, they every time you get to see it, it doesn't work. It doesn't work now the way it used to work, where guys were like, oh, I'll take a one-year guaranteed deal and we'll do that. Now guys see the guaranteed money that's out there because it's already been handed out. They look at the franchise tag as a slap in the face.
But if it's done in good faith, it does work out for guys, though. If you are franchising him with the intent to sign him long-term, then it does work out.
Okay, let me help you with this one. The franchise tag is not good faith. It's never been put in place. It was not negotiated as a good faith option. It was what the NFL and the owners made us as players. Because I was sitting in that meeting when we were talking about the franchise tag in front and having Gene Upshaw stand in front and say, I know you guys don't want this franchise tag and you think it's a bunch of crap, but we're going to have to give a little bit. Because that is exactly what we had to do. Because they weren't going to say, you're going to give up your free agency and you're not going to take the tender, then we have to have the ability to keep you in place so we can trade you later. That is the reason why they put the franchise tag. There's no such thing as a good faith franchise tag. That's not what the NFL wanted. It's never been the conversation. But they use it now. It's now a ploy, and it's a toy, and it's leverage. And that's what you need it for. I get it as a business side. You need it for the leverage. But from the player's perspective now, they don't like it. They hate it.
But you could have that scenario play out with a guy like Jamal Adams there. But the Seahawks said, we're not doing it right now. That time will probably come next year after they actually, I don't know, see him play a snap in the Seahawks uniform. But he is saying, I'm in. He wants to be all in, and that's what he said he wanted with New York Jets, is just a little bit of honesty, which, it was, I mean, sure. There was so much dysfunction there that I found that hard to believe anyways.
Yeah.
But in Seattle, he has kind of that rejuvenated feeling, and a lot of guys have this. You go to a new place, and you feel a lot better, man.
Yeah, there's nothing like a change of scenery. Just ask Tom Brady. Change of scenery. Some guys love it. Some people like stability. Comfortable, but in this sport, you sometimes that little refreshing change of scenery, it energizes you. I mean, it did it to Joe Montana. Now, not everybody leaves on good faith. Who leaves their job as a superstar and goes, yeah, I'm pretty happy about it?
John Elway.
He didn't leave anywhere. He started and ended. I meant just like kind of kicked, like Aaron Rodgers. How much was that of Aaron Rodgers to stand up and talk about being an adult in the room? He really was. He's like, look, I get it. You guys are going to, this is my mm-hmm. swan song. I know you drafted this guy to replace me. That was big time by Aaron Rodgers. He's not going to be happy to leave, but he understands the business side.
Yeah, Peyton Manning did it too. Yeah. You know, when he left Indianapolis, he knew, look, my neck is not what it used to be. They need to plan for the future. I'm okay with it. And then he went on to Denver and won a Super Bowl, for goodness
sure
sake.
Sure did. A good change of scenery is always refreshing.
Sure is. Yeah, but we saw this year those guys that are in those spots of wanting new deals. There's a couple of ways you can go about it. One of them is Jamal Adams' way, where he got his way in the trade, and then the other way is what Raheem Mostert did in San Francisco, who he demanded a trade, and now John Lynch is coming out going, I was sitting there and I saw that headline. I was like, what the hell is going on here? He had no idea that's where their negotiations were heading down. And
what do you mean?
Well, I just said he had no idea that's what way their negotiations were going, to where he was that upset. He said, my reaction was, what the heck are you doing? Come on now. Demanding a trade because he wasn't getting his deal restructured. Now, eventually, they came back to the table. But he said, now I love Raheem and I love his family. It's sometimes frustrating in these negotiations, but I was a player, so I understand that you don't talk directly with the player. You're talking with an agent. And sometimes I think because of that, there can be a loss in communication. What we ultimately did in revisiting his contract, we always planned on doing. So it's frustrating that he didn't have... this did have to transpire, but cooler heads did prevail, and we have to understand that Raheem is a very important player to our team.
Sure.
Going public without even knowing, really, he demanded the trade, and what Lynch is saying is that we didn't even really talk to him. We were talking to his agent. His agent kind of played this way.
Yeah, he probably was told by his agent, you're going to have to use the leverage card, and that's come out and express your opinion. I got no problems with that. I got no problems with it.
Because the agent seems like the one that where this was lost in translation, though. The agent is the one that kind of pushed it to this, where playing the disrespect card, when what Lynch is saying is, dude, we knew he was going to be a piece that we wanted to keep, but we were just far apart in what we were doing. He didn't know what the negotiations were. They were talking to his agent, not him directly.
It's business, man. Business means we knew we wanted to give you a contract, just not what you wanted. Of course, we'll call that code speak or GM speak of course we wanted him. We just wanted him for about $5 to $6 million cheaper. Because your job as a general manager is to get everything and then some at the least amount you have to spend. You don't want to give leverage to players. I mean, come on. John Lynch knows what it's like to be a player, but he's not a player anymore. Sorry. Neither is John Elway. Their job now is to advocate for the franchise for financial reasons and success of acquiring assets.
That goes back to this whole thing, though.
That's not the player's responsibility.
Him doing it publicly, though, is where you look at what John Lynch and the Niners are doing, and it's like, we don't want these fights to be out there and in public, because there wasn't really that big of a fight that we had in the first place.
Well, too bad, because you know what? That's going to be the norm. It's going to be the future, because football players are watching NBA players. They're watching what the NBA guys do. They're watching what Major League Baseball guys do. NBA players advocate. They know they're locked in. They get guarantees. They know they're very vocal. Major League Baseball players get 15-year contracts. I don't know if you're facetious, but long-term hundreds of millions of dollar contracts. And NFL football players are going, well, geez, we're the most popular sport. We got the most money. That's what's happened. Richard Sherman's been advocating for this as a leader in the NFL Player Association. Richard will tell you, go get everything you can and be public about it. It's not for everybody, but it will be the future. Going to the media and going public will be future negotiations.
Yup. And some of the franchises are going to fight that at all costs. Sure. Franchises, at least, they don't want those things played out in the public, because you can get more done behind closed doors, you know? Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that. I think you have to be willing to change.
And, you know, with teams like Pittsburgh and New England, and now I guess you can put San Francisco on it. I mean, they try to as much as they can, and it's worked out for them. You know, you don't want to be Miami, for goodness sakes, where you got Minka Fitzpatrick and those types of guys. And I'm guessing
Miami's taking a really good turn. They got a good leadership now. I think they're turning the corner now.
Ooh, playoff team?
I didn't playoff team. I think, but they are definitely. I mean, look, Brian Flores knows what he's doing. He's doing a good job.
He did a pretty decent job, especially at the end of last year.
Sure did.
All right. We got more Major League Baseball news coming down the pipeline. And the Blazers back at it today. Dusty and Cam on the Fan. So good. All right. The latest out of Major League Baseball. Cardinals Brewers canceled today after Cardinals players have tested positive for COVID-19. Not really sure how many guys have tested positive. I haven't seen that report out there yet. But now there's concern about Minnesota and Cleveland, because the Cardinals played Minnesota on Wednesday night, and then they played Minnesota went on yesterday to play in Cleveland, and now there's concerns over, you know, what's going to happen with Minnesota-Cleveland. But as it stands right now, we have one game that has been canceled today, a new game that has been canceled outside of Miami and the Phillies and all them, and it is Cardinals and Brewers, as Major League Baseball tries to kind of get control of this before it spirals out of control.
Well, I don't know if anybody is really surprised by this happening, because, you know, Major League Baseball was never going to be the sport that was going to be able to contain or bubble this thing, and understand that that's why football, I think, will have more success than Major League Baseball with this. Football's going to, especially collegiately and professionally, it's going to be a big, big deal. I mean, baseball is, I mean, look, you're traveling, you're hanging out in a city for 4 or 5 days. You're doing a 4-game set. You're in hotels. Guys will sneak out. You'll do that. Football, man, you're in. You could fly day of, Sunday morning, play the game, get out. Saturday, fly it late Saturday night. Okay, go into a quarantined hotel, stay together, go play the game. No crowds, no nothing. Fly out. You're not, baseball's hanging out, laying around. Where are you guys hanging out in the hotel? Are you going to sneak out tonight? You're going to do those things. There's just too many variables with Major League Baseball. So they're going to have more chances. Football's got a way better shot of being successful and making it through without having games than, of course, baseball is.
This is the hard part about travel, though, and this was the big concern about sports not being in a bubble and having to travel is those points of contact, because the two teams, now that we've had these tests, Miami on the road, their first one was in Atlanta when there's that Bob Nightingale report that guys went out and partied it up, and then they were on the road in Philly. The Cardinals were on the road in Minnesota for just a quick two-game set. And then, boom, back on the road again to Milwaukee in this cancellation of the game. Yep. But also you had, I mean, this is why the Minnesota Twins are sitting there and thinking about rethinking they play the Indians, is that we now have two members of the Phillies organization, a clubhouse attendant and a coach that tested positive yesterday. And there's that, you know, you kind of still got to wait those few days of the what they call the incubation period, you know, on on how long this thing can kind of manifest and start showing in positive tests. So Major League Baseball has one more game postponed, Cardinals and Brewers today. It should have been Milwaukee's home opener, officially canceled as of right now. But the Blazers are in the bubble where there are no cancellations. 1 o'clock today against the Memphis Grizzlies. A win would be huge for Portland, not just because every game meaning so much, but the fact New Orleans lost yesterday and you're trying to track down and keep that cushion with Memphis. Huge game for Portland. Huge game right out of the gate. Game number one.
Let's go, Dame. Hopefully there's no remnants of a foot. Foot? That's all right. Let's go, Dame.
Yeah, that inflammation in his left foot. Everybody's tracking that one, but it all gets going at 1 o'clock. He should be good to go today. So healthy bodies. Healthy bodies all the way around. Terry Stotts going to be playing probably with the short rotation.
Who starts?
Healthy
Who
bodies.
Start? What's starting lineup? Go. Starting lineup.
Dame, CJ, Mello, Nurk, Whiteside to start. Whiteside to start.
Wow, Nurk playing the four, huh?
No.
No? No? Who's playing the four?
They're just going to mishmash them. Hybrid it.
Positionless basketball.
Yeah,
you don't have to
define right. those two when you got okay. two seven-footers out there.
Yeah, let's go.
I mean, I guess Nurk has a more propensity to shoot a three, so sure.
Okay.
Nurk, stretch five. All right. Buck and Will be center in the Saint tomorrow. Buck, going to be hosting center of the Saint from 9 to 11.
Yeah, buddy.
Before that, we'll be Swag and Herald with golf in the Northwest from 8 to 9 o'clock. Sports Sunday with Rashad and Lynch on Sunday morning as well. Coming up next, though, we got The Herd with Colin Cowherd, 9 to noon. Noon to 3 is Dirt and Sprague, 3 to 7, primetime with Isaac and Suk. Have a great weekend. We will see you Monday, 6 to 9 a.m. This has been Dusty and Cam on The Fan.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.